Thank you for joining us for this episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about PR pros and marketing professionals who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here as always with my trusty cohort, Karen Swim. She is the head honcho at Solo PR Pro, which is the organization that draws us smart, sassy, savvy solos together. How are you, Karen?
I am doing great, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, can't complain. We were talking off air. I did a nice little file purge. I feel like I have a whole brand new workspace. So nothing clears the mind like tossing some old stuff.
You know what? That's amazing. You're right. And isn't that such a perfect segue into our topic today?
It is brand new you, or actually, you know, with all that's been brought on with the pandemic and its impact all around, you know, does that have to change the way we do PR?
Yeah. I sort of love it. We can think of it as sort of a metaphorical wardrobe change, right?
There we go.
Yeah, it's not that you're moving or to a new house or changing your closet. You're just changing the contents of it a little bit. You're doing a little updating.
Exactly. Like many have taken the opportunity to do. I was hearing that there was an issue with finding lumber because everyone was doing DIY projects while they were hunkered down at home. But, you know, just, you know, the tactics and things we do as PR professionals, I'm still of the belief that, you know, as a communicator, your tools and your methods are always going to change and they're going to adapt with the times. And this is really no different. It's certainly not business as usual, but our focus is on keeping business running and happening. And how does that impact what we do as PR pros for our clients and organizations? So
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny because we in public relations, as we all know, over the long history of PR, we go through different times in our culture, and people will talk about certain components of what we do no longer being relevant, or, you know, is dead or why is dead. And it turns out never to be true.
Right. The press release is dead. No.
Yeah. The press release is dead. You know, media relations is dead. You know, everything is declared out of season. It's obsolete. It's no longer useful. In truth, fundamentally, what we do as professionals really has not changed. We may have added different tools and resources or shifted our perspectives a little bit, but fundamentally, it's been the same. And so we're not necessarily talking about a wholesale shift, but I believe that it is time for us to really examine, is what we're doing the same approach, the same methods, the same tactics? Is it time to change given the times that we're in? And I would say yes.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. If anything, this has opened up the door to us of either opportunity, if that applies to you, or really shining greater value on what you do, just as being a counselor. You know, it's more than just slinging a press release together. It's providing good messaging and communication counsel. Because, you know, businesses are making some difficult decisions and, you know, we're all entering new territory. So, and I don't say this from a superficial lens of how's this going to look. I mean, of course, that's part of it. You don't want to be inappropriate, but just of sound messaging so that your business's next move is heard and heard clearly and people get it. Because I have to say, I can't tell you how many times, and I love journalists, but how many times of late I'll read the headline and it's just not quite that it's clickbait. I'll read the headline and then I'll read the article. And now I count, you know, okay, how many paragraphs until you disprove what your headline actually is, which is moderately annoying.
Well, and you know, it's funny that you said that, because that is, I know that every single PR professional will passionately advocates for a free press. Important. We will fight to the death for it. We stand with journalists. However, there is a reality in journalism, and I want to, for our listeners who may not be PR professionals, to say right up front that fake news does not apply to real journalism.
Correct.
We do not like that term because it's so very often it is misused against the media who is truly trying to report
100%
the story.
100%.
However, Barry Weiss from the New York Times just had a very public resignation, and she called out the bias that does exist in newsrooms. And it's on one side or the other. You know, it's no political sides are immune to this. It truly does exist. And while the politics doesn't impact everyone in public relations per se, in terms of the work that they do, unless you work in that sector, you know, if you work in travel and tourism, then you're probably pitching different publications. But I think that it is a moment that is another awakening for us. You know, we know that for many, many years there have been shrinking revenues in media. Mm-hmm. We've seen lots of publications go away. We've seen acquisitions, mergers. We've seen a lot of furloughs and layoffs during this time of COVID. And so there's just fewer outlets for us to rely on. I have said for years that media relations has been the cornerstone that far too many public relations professionals have overly relied on, in my opinion. And it was, everyone doesn't agree with me, but I feel like when you build your public relations program and you rely so heavily on one component, you run the risk of running through clients a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to media relations, it's great when you get published, it's great when you get that broadcast interview, but then the next day they want more. So it's me, in my mind, and this is just my opinion, it's always this never ending well. However, I do fully believe and use media relations in conjunction with all of the other components that we have at our disposal. And so, you know, Jeannie Dietrich has preached the PESO model for years, mm-hmm. and I fully believe in it as well, as I know many of our solo PR pros do. So when we talk about changing, it's maybe time to look and say, am I relying on one or more tactics? Maybe it's not earned media. Maybe you're relying on, social heavily. And if that's your wheelhouse and that's all you do, we're not saying that now you have to learn all of these other components, but you definitely should be looking at ways to more fully integrate what you do into the other pieces of your client's business. So, I feel like that siloed approach and that reliance on one tactic really needs to change.
Right.
I feel like we have to step up our strategic counseling and be more assertive and be the CEOs that we already are of our businesses. Sometimes we approach clients like we're junior, account executives, and that's not going to work. That's not going to work moving forward.
Right. Right. And I think it's, it speaks to, the integrated approach, because when it comes down to it, what are you trying to do for your clients? Well, you're trying to get them heard, found, if it's a specific campaign, you're trying to reach certain people, and, getting a placement is fantastic, but there's so many other ways to do it. And, if that feels like they're dovetailing too much into advertising or marketing, well, you can call it whatever you want, but you know, at your essence, you're a communicator. So, you know, use all of these tactics that, that are at your disposal, even if it means growing your team to do it. That's okay. The agency I started with, it was integrated before it was a buzzword. So, you know, we had the PR element, and then we had the advertising and marketing element. And, you know, I look back and I'm grateful for that now, because, you know, when you see people who were siloed, in fact, one of my colleagues, I think she'll be okay with my sharing. She moved on to a larger agency, and we were so accustomed to, you know, art directing our own creative and, you know, liaising with the art department directly. That when she moved on, you know, she knew she had a deadline and it was just taking too long. So she said, no, this is fine. And like, you know, they kind of gave her a little slap on the hand, like, well, you can't do that. And she said, well, why not? I used to do it all the time. So I'm fully capable of art directing this. What are you talking about? So, know that you have these talents. If you've come to public relations and you feel like you're heavy on media relations, you have these other talents. You just probably haven't either tapped into them or worked that muscle as much as you normally would.
I agree. And, you know, I do, you know, I feel like, again, before, you know, there's a bunch of PR people that throw tomatoes at us. Again, I just want to emphasize, we're not saying that you now have to become expert at things. We have,
talented
professionals who work in very specific areas. So we have people that their expertise is media relations. That's all they do every day. That's fine. I would even say, though, that even when that's your specialty, there still needs to be an awareness about your client's business and begin to think more holistically. And I would also say, for all of us, refresh your skills. Take the time to invest in yourself. Sometimes that's really just an investment of time. It's not even an investment of money, because you should, all of us should be looking at, even if you have a very specific specialty, you should be looking at your process, your systems, your approaches. And you shouldn't just settle into business as usual. Right. And I cannot emphasize that enough, because we can all be guilty of that. You go along and you're just, you know, doing what you've always done, the way that you've always done it. It's working and it's fine. You're happy. Clients are happy. And I am saying right now, don't rest on your laurels. Number one, there's a lot of competition right now,
right?
Because COVID unfortunately displaced quite a few talented public relations professionals. So agencies are becoming more agile, and I've never seen agencies necessarily as a competitor, because I truly believe that agencies and solos and micro agencies work together so well. I've done it. I know many other people do it. I think companies benefit from the different sets of expertise. However, because of this pandemic, there are a lot of people in the job market. There are some people that are looking to move their specialties because they've been impacted by, you know, shutdowns and industries such as travel and tourism. And so you better be on your A game. And your A game is not the game that you had yesterday or last year.
Right, right. You know, always be learning. Always, you know, it's not an indulgence to take the time to do that. And, you know, that's a do as I say, not do as I do. I mean, we all fall guilty of it. You'd much rather spend time serving a client, but at the same time, you really do need to sharpen your tool and make a regular practice of it and just see what's new out there. You know, it could bring an exciting new element to your business.
I agree. I mean, I even think, you know, and sometimes we look at little things that we want to shake up, like our reports and, you know, our proposals, and those are all great things. I just recently shifted my report format too. I evolved it to make it, you know, different, not just for the sake of being different, but, you know, thinking about how, you know, calls go with clients and how things flow. And so changed it to make it more meaningful. So even those little things, like looking at little parts of your process, you know, looking at how you do your schedule. It's so, again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to shift the way that you're doing PR in terms of like, don't do media relations anymore. I'm not saying that, or no, you should always do this, but looking at every facet of your work and making sure that it really makes sense, not only for now, but for the future.
Right. And speaking a little bit to the media relations aspect, I've, you know, attended a couple of panels fairly recently within the past few months. And, you know, because we're in this pandemic and people are asking, you know, the journalists on the panel, do you want any other stories? And resoundingly, it's yes. It was nice to know that, okay, so the same methods of, you know, they encourage, please call us, pick up the phone, because everyone emails, we don't mind a phone call, you know, for the most part. I'm sure everyone has their preferences, but, you know, generally across the board, it was, yeah, you know, we may not run with this human interest angle story right away, mm-hmm. but we still want to know about your non-COVID news. So that was encouraging as well, because, you know, to a certain degree, you know, we still have to keep moving forward.
I agree. And I mean, if you are somebody who does a lot of media relations, please keep learning and keep, you know, don't think, okay, I've got this mastered. Some of you out there are so phenomenal. You're rock stars, but we always have something to learn and there's always little tweaks that we can make. So take advantage of opportunities to continue to develop that skill set. It will serve you and your clients well. And, you know, I have even found that developing a completely different area of your life, you know, taking a class or a workshop and something that's totally outside of your norm is another good way to inspire you to think differently and to get a fresh perspective for your work. And again, I, you know, that's good for you personally. It benefits your mental health, that, you know, it can reignite your passion, but it's also good for your work life to sort of step outside into a whole different area and get a different perspective on everything.
It's so true. And inspiring too, Karen. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. And the other thing that I would say, though, that I do feel like this is non-negotiable, to be honest, is that we all of us, no matter if you're good at it now, we all need to get far better at utilizing data in our work, period.
Yes, I agree. Get comfortable with the KPIs and that sort of thing and learning what the data tells you. Yeah.
I think what the data tells you. More importantly, learn how to report data in a meaningful way to your client. And so that means having those conversations at the start of engagements, at the start of campaigns, about what success metrics are important to your client, and learning how to measure that and to make decisions going forward based on facts and data, not on conjecture. Now, that doesn't take away our creativity and our ability to do things, but I'm really surprised at how many of us in 2020 still cannot tie what we do back to not only the business goals, but we can't tie our results into how they move the business forward. Right. And I have to tell you, that's what clients want. Every single one of them. If you cannot show them that PR is moving the business needle, you are going to start to lose contracts.
Right. I mean, it could.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, it can even be as, you know, as not small, but, you know, working some content marketing into it. You know, I have a client, you know, having the simple ability to go into their Google Analytics and see, I always love to see the traffic acquisitions to their website and finding out, you know, oh, so see that piece that we put out via Facebook and we put a little money behind that drew this many new people to your website. So even something as simple as that to say, okay, so what we're doing is working, and prepare yourself. It's not going to be, oh my gosh, everybody came at once on one week and it was awesome. A lot of times this stuff's a slow burn and a slow build depending on you know, your plan with your client. Yeah, it is. So
magic words, please, you know, stop promising immediacy. You know, I feel like everything in PR these days is truly a slow burn.
Oh yeah. Sometimes
pitching is taking a lot longer to get placements.
Yes.
When you actually secure placement, it could take a lot longer to actually publish. Yeah. And then, you know, so we're really focused on, you know, long tail, and you need to set your clients' expectations. But you said it, Michelle, and I love that you do Google Analytics, because I know that that's intimidating for a lot of PR people. Some people have never seen Google Analytics, period. They have no idea what it looks like, and it scares them to pieces. Mm. But if you can have your client add you to their Google Analytics dashboard, I highly recommend it, because it gives you not only some control in how you're presenting your results, but it also gives you some valuable information to help you keep fine-tuning the work that you're doing. There's so much free information in Google Analytics that is useful to our work that not getting comfortable with it, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, even just knowing how and exactly, Belle, knowing how and, you know, and from where people are coming to your client's website. And, you know, it's just a great thing to be able to point back to of, you know, see that quarterly e-newsletter, it's getting you this much traffic and people are reading your articles. Yay. Your thought leadership is growing. Yay. So, you know, don't lose heart. These are, you know, interesting times. And, so, you know, we hope this has been inspiring to you just to try and, you know, tilt your head a little and think about your work in a little bit of a different way. How can we get creative, which is kind of exciting. But we definitely want to hear from you. Are you doing things any differently right now? And what is that? Please visit us at soloprpro.com and comment on this episode, because we truly do want to know. And please, if you get value from this, and we hope you do, share it around, subscribe. And until next time, thanks for listening to That Solo Life.